Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. He's the only one that can. Praise the Lord for that. Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I had a dream. Some of you ought to know where I'm going with this, because I've told you this before. Sometimes God, in the middle of the night, will give me a dream about a message, and I'll be asleep, kind of in and out, and thinking, and I'm thinking, boy, this is good. I've got to get up and write this down, because I've already learned many years ago, that if I don't get up and start writing it down, when it comes to morning, no matter how tired I was, etc., when it comes to morning, I won't remember it. I can think and think and think, and I've done that before, so I learned my lesson. So I got up and started writing some points down and things that I felt like the Lord would have me to share. And he brought this to my mind here. And the way the dream went, I was a guest speaker at a country church. And it was crowded as I pulled into the parking lot. I mean, the parking lot was slammed full. There was an attendant out there parking cars. And he said, I'm sorry, you know, I told him who I was Pastor Blackwell, and he said, I'm sorry, but the parking lot is so full. He said, you'll have to park here, it's a long walk. And I said, well, I guess I better get going here, because I'm tonight's guest speaker. And he said, we've got a special parking place for you. And they didn't even know who was speaking that night. And so I got to the parking place, and as I was walking in, I prayed. I said, Lord, thank you for reminding me that I'm a nobody. Okay? I mean, they didn't know who I was. Thank you for reminding me that I'm a nobody. And then I prayed and said, Lord, help this nobody point everybody to the somebody that can change their life forever. Amen. And that is that Jesus that can make that difference in our life. So we have here the message of the Word of God about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that somebody that can change your life forever. I know that the majority of you here have already made a choice to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if there's somebody that has not yet, I pray that they would today. But for every one of us that are saved, God is still working on us and changing us and making us more like the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want that work to continue, and He can change our life forever. And then I began preaching this message about nobodies. It represents us Christians with a proper perspective about ourselves there. We are nothing, but He is everything. Yeah. Amen? And so there were three truths about us nobodies that God directed my dream to or about. The first point is that I'll explain to you that I am a box. Just a box. I am the box, and thirdly, I must be a usable box. Let me explain what I mean by this. First, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we can today be here with your word. These folks that are here, Lord, for every one of us, you have a purpose for us being present today. Help us to be open and receptive to your word, that as your spirit speaks to our heart through your word, may you allow us to respond appropriately in a way, Lord, that you would be well pleased. Lord, as we leave out of here today, may we be better in walking closer to you and prepared better to be an instrument to be used by you than when we first came in. We ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I am just a box. 2 Corinthians 4:7. It says here, and Steve read this to us in the reading of Scripture this morning. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. All right, an earthen vessel, clay pot, a box, if you will, container. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us, that it may be about him and not about us, that he may get the glory and not about us. We have this treasure. Recently I heard an illustration about a 39-cent pizza box. I brought one today. To do this, Vicki and I had to actually order us a pizza. We suffered through that in order to bring you this illustration today. And believe me, it's not my intent to make any of you hungry this morning. But this box here is just a 39-cent pizza box. It's not worth much. It's not that important, other than, as you'll see in a moment. And when we ordered the pizza, we didn't order a box, but we expected the box to come with the pizza, or the pizza to come in the box. Can you imagine just for a moment if today when you went home that you said, hey, you know, I'm kind of thinking about a pizza today. Let's order a pizza and get a pepperoni pizza. Let's get extra cheese on that pepperoni pizza and have that for our lunch. And they're going to deliver it out in about 25 minutes or so. And so the guy shows up at your door, rings the doorbell, and you come to the door, and he's standing there, and he has your large pepperoni pizza in his hand, drooped over his hand there, and the cheese is dripping on his sleeve and on his pants and onto your porch. And he says, did you order the large pepperoni pizza with extra cheese? Now, the first question that may come out of your mouth is, where's the box? And as I said, you didn't order a box, but you expect the product to be in the box, not on his sleeve and on your porch, etc. We'll see several illustrations from this. But what I want you to get first is we're like this box, an earthen vessel, a clay pot, a container. And that's what we are. We're not the product. We're just the container. We're not the message. We're just the messenger. And so it is important for us to understand that we are just this box. We're not the primary order, but we are to be the primary or practical container for the order, for the message, for the ministry. The box is only worth 39 cents, but the pizza is the real value. You see, understand this, that this box, this container here, does not give value to the pizza, but it's the pizza that gives value to the box. And so it is with us as containers. It's not us that gives value to the message of Jesus Christ, but it's the message of Jesus Christ that gives value to us, its containers, its deliverers. And so it's not about us. It's not about the box. When we throw in the box, we throw the box away. But we paid for the pizza. We expected the pizza. We ordered the pizza. It was about the pizza. It just needed to be in the box. We're the box. We're just the box. We have this treasure in earthen vessel. Treasure. We have this benefit. We have this value in a box, and it's the pizza inside. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not about us. And so we're just the 39-cent box. It's God's power, therefore it ought to be God's glory that he receives from it. We're just a box. Number two, I am the box. I am available to be used of God. Could I ask the question up front here? Are you available to be used of God? I am a box. I've always heard that one of the greatest abilities that is around is availability. We are to be available to be used of the Lord. If the pizza guy got ready to put that hot, nice-looking pizza in a box, and this box wasn't there, wasn't available, he's going to have to use something else. And we are that same situation where if we are not available for the Lord to use, God's going to use someone else. He's going to get his ministry presented. He's going to get Vacation Bible School workers to work. But if we're not available, we miss out on that opportunity to be used. So the greatest ability is availability, and that availability involves two things. Number one, it involves a willingness to be used. Can you imagine that how it affected the world of art if Michelangelo would have said, "I don't do ceilings"? Some of you out there, Michelangelo, what? Okay. But can you imagine for a moment here? Let's put it in our vernacular today, looking back at our Vacation Bible School and say, "Hey, we need workers." And I said, "Hey, I don't do VBS. I don't serve in that capacity." What do we just do? "Lord, I'm not willing." Careful. Now, I know that God hasn't called everybody to work in VBS. But there are some people, I believe, God calls to work in VBS who are not willing to do that work. And it's not just VBS. It can be all kinds of things. Willingness to be used means that we may have to climb some scaffolds to paint that ceiling. It may mean that we've got to put forth some effort to be that. But the willingness to be used is the key. A great example of it would be Isaiah. You remember Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8? "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And then he said, what did he say? 'Here am I, send me.'" What did he say? "Lord, I'm available. Use me." That was his willingness to be used of the Lord. There's always opportunities to volunteer to serve God and to serve others. The question is, are you available? So availability, being available, involves, number one, willingness. Number two, it involves reliability. Reliability in that use. I know that there have been times that we have had needs, and I've had someone come to me and say, "Hey, I'm available. What can I do?" And I was befuddled to think of what they could. How can we use them? In what capacity could they be used? There have been other times in which I've understand that somebody says, "Hey, I'm available," and yet the person says, whether it be VBS or whether it be nursery, whether it be helping out with a meal or whether it be, whatever the case may be of service, that person says that they will, but they're not very dependable. You can't always expect them to show up when they said that they'd be here. Reliability in that use. And that reliability is connected also to two things. Number one, reliability is connected to faithfulness. There's a principle the Lord Jesus Christ gave us. It's found in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, and it's about this idea of faithfulness. Jesus said that he that is faithful in that which is least, little, is faithful also in much. In other words, he that will show himself faithful, reliable in little responsibilities, you can mark it down, they'll be faithful and reliable when it comes to the big responsibilities. He went on to say, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. He that is not reliable and not faithful in the little things, he won't be faithful in the big. We've used that illustration before, that principle that the Lord gave us when it comes to tithing. You know, some people actually have the mentality, you know, I don't make very much money. It's always a struggle on me. If I made more money, I would tithe. If I made more money, I would give like what the Lord says. Jesus says, no, you wouldn't. If it's not in your heart, if you're not reliable to give what I have given unto you right now, you won't give. If I were to give you $100,000 a year, we have to be faithful where we are. And so if we are faithful in that which is little, then God says, hey, I can expect and I know that you'll be faithful also if I give you more. We are to have that faithful, that reliability on our part. Prove yourself reliable and the doors of opportunity will open wide for you. Prove yourself reliable and the doors of opportunity will open wide. Not only is reliability tied to faithfulness, but it's also tied to responsibility. Back in 2011, I believe it was when my dad passed away, just a few weeks before he died, maybe only 2 weeks or so, I was up at Chippenham Hospital with him. Mom was there, and Dad was able to sit up on the side of the bed, and occupational therapy was in working with him. And I remember this happening as they were working with him. He had some tennis shoes that were laced up loosely that he could just slide on. And they were trying to teach him how to get his foot up there and to slide his shoe on so that he could help get himself ready in the mornings. And he said he didn't want to do that. And then the lady, the occupational therapist that was there, said, well, Mr. Blackwell, you need to learn to do this and how you can do this on your own. And he said, no, I don't. And then he looked over at my mom and he said, that's what I've got her for. Now, we laugh at that, and I'll be honest, there in the hospital, I laughed a little bit too. I'm not sure if Mom was laughing. But the lady said, Mr. Blackwell says, you can't have that. You shouldn't be relying upon her to dress you when you can do it yourself. The point is there is a responsibility that needs to be accepted on our part. In a similar way, I read a story about a little girl. She had been trying to tie her shoes for some time and several months, and finally she got the hang of it, the knack of it, and she was able to tie her shoe. But she started crying, and her dad said, honey, why are you upset? And she said, well, I finally learned how to tie my shoe by myself. And he said, well, that's great, honey, but why are you crying? And she said, well, now I'm going to have to do it by myself for the rest of my life. Yeah. Responsibility. That's part of our service unto the Lord. We are responsible to do certain things. And God expects us to be active in those things. And so how we handle responsibilities that we have or not is important. You remember David and Goliath and what took place there and how God gave the great victory. You remember about young David, he was responsible for what?
Sheep.
He was the brother, the youngest brother, that was responsible for being and looking after the sheep while his older brothers were there as soldiers to fight. And was sent to the battle by his dad with some snacks and so forth. And he got there and, of course, turned out to be he was the only one willing to go to fight against Goliath. Actually, he was the only one capable. I say that in the sense that he was empowered by God. to be able to stand against Goliath. It wasn't David, and David acknowledged, he said, it's not about me, but my God. He's the one that's going to give the victory. And he did. But my point is this, in 1 Samuel 17, we see this confidence in David, that we see this reliability, if you will, upon God that he had, that from a shepherd, he became the soldier. From one that was a keeper of the sheep, he became the king of Israel. And it was all because of his reliability on God. God, he relied upon him, and God gave him the reliability that others looked at and saw. Faithfulness, consistency, those things point the way. David faithfully handled the seemingly small responsibilities, and God prepared him for the larger ones that were to come. Every one of us are in the same boat as the box that we are. We have responsibilities that God has given us. We're to be found faithful in what responsibilities we have, and as we are faithful in our willingness to do that for the Lord, he also will then give us further opportunity to be used in service for him. Are you available as a box to be filled by the Lord and used? Are you faithful, responsible, therefore reliable, not only in his sight, but in others? We are to be that box that can be used of the Lord. And then last is, I must be a usable box. What do I mean by that? Flip with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I've shared this with you before, so I'm going to be brief in this particular aspect. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, in the middle of the verse, it says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We are to be, as believers, if we name the name of Christ, I'm a Christian, we ought to be departing from sin, iniquity. We ought to be trying to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about in verse 20, in the great house there's not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and earth. You know, there's an earthen vessel. There's these vessels. We are these pots, these boxes, these containers, if you will, that are to be used. Verse 21 is where I bring your attention to. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these sins, these iniquities, in other words, keep sins confessed, so that we will be profitable for service to be used of the Lord, if we'll purge ourselves from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, where it means set apart for a particular purpose, sanctified and meet for the master's use. We're going to come back to that word meet there, fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That word meet there is not just the word, as I shared with you, fit, but it's actually the word profitable. It's used later here in 2 Timothy in chapter 4 in verse 11. Paul writes here, he says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Excuse me. Mark is profitable. The word profitable there is the same Greek word as meet in our verse. So we are to be sanctified and profitable. You know the story there of Mark. John Mark is what we know him as. When Paul and Barnabas went on the first missionary journey, they took John Mark with them, and John Mark didn't stay with them very long, but turned back and left them. And it disappointed the Apostle Paul to the point that when the second missionary journey came up with Paul and Barnabas, Barnabas wanted to bring John Mark again, and Paul said, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. I'm not going to do it. He turned back on us last time. He didn't stay with us. And it was so sharp of contention that Paul ended up going with Silas, and Barnabas left with Mark. And so we have the second missionary journey of Paul and Silas that takes off. But here we read that later on, even though John Mark at the time earlier was not profitable unto Paul because he had abandoned, etc., now Paul says he is profitable unto me. Well, that tells me a couple things. Number one, it tells me there is a chance that when we have blown it in our service of the Lord in previous times, that we can still become profitable unto him. It also tells me that if I want to be that sanctified earthen vessel unto the Lord, then there's some things that I need to do in keeping myself clean, purging myself from these sins, these iniquities. Being clean should be an obvious outcome of our recognition that we are an earthen vessel for the Lord. Nobody likes to go to a restaurant and have their food brought out and open up their utensils and find a fork with crusty something on the fork. Dirty utensils. Don't like to eat that way. Neither does God like to take us vessels, us boxes, and open up and find leftover food and dirt and the sin of our life. That's not acceptable unto him either. We are to be clean vessels. I would hope that whoever makes pizza, when they grab a box and open it up, that they find that it's clean before they put my pizza in there. And I would hope that each one of us 39-cent boxes out here would make sure before we seek to serve the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to anyone else, that we would make sure that we are clean vessels, that it may pass through us. God is expecting us as an earthen vessel to be clean. It should be our reputation. What is a reputation? It's something that other people think about us, our testimony. It's important that our testimony to other people is that we are clean boxes, that we are prepared Christians to be used of the Lord. But not only is it important for our reputation to be that way, but it's also important for our character to be that way. You see, the difference between reputation and character, reputation is what other people see of us and think of us, but character is what God sees and thinks. So we can separate it out this way. Our reputation is what's on the outside, because man looketh on the outward appearance, we're told. But God, the Lord, looks on the heart. And so the outward appearance, my reputation, it's important that I have a good testimony on the outside, but I'm not supposed to be like the Pharisees, who, if you would have looked at them in their day, they had everything going right. They looked right. They spoke right. They prayed. They gave. Excuse me. They did all of these things correctly. But Jesus said unto them in Matthew 15:8, "This people draws nigh to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." They got the outside fine, but the inside is what's missing. And so I want to impress that upon you, and if you'll flip with me over to Matthew chapter 23, excuse me, in Matthew 23, Jesus had some very harsh words that he said unto these Pharisees. In verse 27 and 28, we read, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, caskets, very pretty, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness, corrupting bodies. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity," sin. That's their state. Could that be any of us today? I look around, I can only see your outward appearance. I can't see your heart. You maybe have heard people say, you know, "I know when you look at them, yeah, but they've got a good heart." Really? Who said that they had a good heart? Because the last time I listened to God, he says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the answer to that question is God, the only one. "Search me, O God, and know my heart." He knows our heart. He sees exactly. And he says, hey, our heart is where the problem lies so often. And so they had the outside right, but their inside was not right. Their heart was not right. If you see the remedy, look back to verse 25 and 26. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." Here's the same type of description, but now we're talking about cooking. And we have a pot, not a box. And we have a pot there. And you come into the house, and the lady of the house is going to fix you a meal, and maybe she's going to just, you know, make you some chicken noodle soup. She gets out this nice, shiny pot with a lid on it and so forth, and oh, it looks nice to fix the soup in. And opens it up, you look in, it's all crusty, all kinds of junk on the inside. Is that what you want your soup to be warmed up in? If you're like me, I'd say, no, no, I'll pass. Give me some peanut butter. but at the same time, that's what we are when we're like the Pharisees that are described here. When we have the outside, it's all clean and looks nice, but the inside is full of corruption. And God says, what's the remedy? "Thou blind Pharisee," verse 26, "cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." He didn't say, don't worry about the outside, but he says, first, get the heart right. First, get the inside right. First, get the sin out of the cup, our life. And then, then, the outside, clean. God looks at the heart. Don't forget the heart. We need to be clean vessels unto the Lord because God sees the heart and he wants to use the clean vessel. Not only that, excuse my coughing today. Not only are we to be a clean vessel, but we are to be an empty vessel. What do I mean by that? There's too many times that we are full of our own things, our own thoughts, our own ways. And until we empty ourselves, until we empty our box, we can't be used of the Lord. Here's the pizza maker. He comes, he grabs a box, he opens it up and finds inside one of the employees and put his keys and his wallet and you know, all kinds of stuff. Well, he can't use that box. It's full of them. The same thing is true when we've got all of our personal stuff in our life and we're not ready for God to fill us with anything. God wants us to be that empty box, to be ready, to be available for him to fill with what he has, not just what we have, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What he has is important. We need to be empty. So we're just a box. Are you clean? Empty? Are you available for the Master's use? That's the question for you today. You don't have to be talented. You don't even have to have great experience or great knowledge, though it might be helpful. But it's not about that. As long as you're clean, empty, and available, God will use you. He wants to. And that's His way. Every head bowed, please. Don't want you looking around. Don't want you thinking about what's coming next or anything. Just think about what we've just said. God says that if you will give me your earthen vessel, I will fill you with my purpose and my power by my Holy Spirit. And I will use you like that 39-cent box. That's what He offers. With the pizza box, it's not about the box, it's about what's in it. With us servants, with us messengers, it's not about us, but it's about the divine message. And God should get the glory. Will you be clean, empty, and available for God to use? Father, I pray that as believers today, that we would be that box that's clean, that's empty of the things that we think we know and want and have, and ready for you to fill us and use us. May we be available to you, willing for you to use in whatever capacity that you choose. Lord, may you receive the glory for all of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.